Well, I am always excited to have a special guest joining me here in the archives tonight. I'm especially excited because, you know, it's long been a debate on who the first contemporary Christian artist or group has been, and many people have laid claims, and the claim has been pushed on others. But probably the group that has the most legitimate claim to that title hails from over in the UK and came together way back in the early 60s, and that group was known as the Pilgrims. And tonight I am so very excited to have one of the band's founding members joining me here in the archives. Through the wonders of modern technology, all the way from across the pond, we have Derek Phillips joining us tonight here in the archives. And Derek, thank you so much for giving us some time.
Hi, it's lovely to be talking to you.
Well, Derek, let's get to meet you a little bit. Tell us where you're originally from.
Originally from Southeast London, and that's where all the band originated, in that area. Since then, I've moved around the country, and I'm now living in Bristol, which is over on the west of England. But London was where I started.
Well, now, did you grow up in a Christian home, Derek?
No, I didn't. It was a caring home. It was a decent home, but it wasn't what you'd call a Christian home.
Well, tell us a little bit how you met Jesus then.
Well, I used to go to church. It went with being a Boy Scout. In fact, I thought I was a Christian, but I went on a walk one Sunday afternoon and ran into some guys running an open-air service on the local market. On a Sunday this was, so no, market wasn't in operation at that time. Got talking with them. As I say, I thought I was a Christian, but I realised from that I wasn't. In fact, I hadn't made that commitment. It happened that one of the people in that group was from my school. And when I went back to school on the Monday, met up with him, he got me into the school Christian Union, and so it went on. I got deeper and deeper into it.
Did you grow up thinking about being a musician?
I had a go at various instruments through my school career. Didn't really take to any of them. And it wasn't until much later that I picked up the guitar and fell in love with it.
So are you fairly self-taught then?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I started by learning out of books. Started with Bert Whedon's Play in a Day. I don't know if you have heard of Bert Whedon, but he was quite important as a session player in this country, and often would play for the big stars who couldn't really play. He had a book called Play in a Day, and I started with that, and then picked it up from various other sources, and then, of course, working with other people, picked up from other friends.
Now, Derek, I read that before the guitar, though, we actually were thinking about playing the banjo. Is that true?
That is true. I was in a church where there happened to be a couple of people who played funny instruments for children's choruses, that sort of thing. One of them was a banjo, and I thought, I quite fancy that. So I went into the shop with that in mind, but I came out with a guitar. Never quite figured out how that happened, but that's what happened.
I think you might have made the better choice.
I think I did.
Now, over here in the States, Derek, teen guys, a lot of times we get together. Here we call them garage bands. You know, kids that get together in parents' garages or basements and try and learn how to be a band. Did you do any of that before the Pilgrims?
I used to play and sing myself a little bit. I did, although I was quite young, I used to do a certain amount of preaching, and I'd take along the guitar for that and sing some of the old spirituals, gospel songs that were, mostly coming from the States. Used to be a book called Western Style Songs. I used to take a lot of things from that. I was using it for Christian work.
Tell us how the Pilgrims came together.
The thing really started from an evening when Don Sanders, who was another founder member of the group, and Ian Wilkie, another founder member of the group, were with a couple of other friends having a little bit of a rowdy evening at their house while the parents were away. Don's older brother, who, by the way, happened to be a friend of mine, came back from church that evening. He wasn't too keen on the noise that they were making, so he set up in competition in the next room playing hymns on the piano. Ian went in and said, could you turn it down a bit? Robert, that's the name of Don's brother, said, yes, if I can come in to talk to you. So he did. He told him the gospel, and by the end of the evening, all four had accepted the Lord. It was quite an amazing thing, which quickly became news in the local Christian movements. So they started to go to Youth for Christ. That's where I met them. The Don and Ian, that is, got the idea that they wanted to use their rock music. Don was in a band already, for preaching the gospel. They didn't have all the instrumentalists they need, saw me, came and asked me if I was interested in joining him. So the three of us met together and tried it out, and we started from there.
Now, what year are we talking here, Derek?
That was 1961.
That is just so, because there was nobody else, literally nobody else, doing rock music to preach the gospel. And you just offhandedly said, hey, why don't we do this?
Yeah, absolutely. It seemed, well, put it in the context of the time. Bear in mind that at that time, skiffle had been a big thing. A lot of the bands that became popular in the 60s had started off as skiffle bands, skiffle groups, playing, you know, tub bass and washboard and perhaps a banjo or a guitar or something like that. The Beatles started like that, for example. So there was a lot of people who were forming bands, but it just that they weren't Christians. Don had already been playing in a rock band of that kind of thing. And the idea of using it for preaching the gospel, well, it didn't seem odd to him. He didn't know any different. It was, this is what I do, and now I'm a Christian, so that's, I want to put them together. So it really was just naturally outgrowing from what was going on in the secular world and the fact that these two had become Christians.
Wow. Well, Derek, let's take a quick music break, and I've queued up a track here from the Pilgrims. I guess this was your only official release, which was a single. For folks who don't remember singles, it was a little 7-inch record that had a song on each side. I queued up from that single, the song Heaven is the Place for Me. Can you give us any background on this song?
It was written by John, one of the band. It was certainly very popular. It's the first time we started using musical harmony. I guess we were starting to catch a glimpse of what the Beatles were doing. It proved very popular in the time. I mean, it was released on a Christian label, so it didn't have exposure in the wide commercial world, but nevertheless it did get picked up by a lot of Christian young people, and it was very popular in our repertoire.
Great. We are chatting with Derek Phillips, original member of the very first Christian rock band, The Pilgrims, and this is their lone release. It's called Heaven is the Place for Me, and it's from the archives on WJTL.
Heaven's the place for me. Thank you.
Fading out there, that is The Pilgrims with Heaven's the Place for Me, and our guest here in the archives tonight, founding member Derek Phillips. And Derek, going into that song, I mentioned that The Pilgrims' only official release during the band's existence. Did you guys ever consider putting together a full-blown album?
Consider? Probably, yes, but not that seriously. By the way, I should say, we did go into studio with that same recording company to do a further recording, but by that time we'd become a little bit more way out, and we tried some things which were much more in the rhythm and blues sort of area. They were just afraid to release it. It was too way out for them. So that never got beyond the studio. We did subsequently, on several occasions, go into studios to record stuff, record tapes, which is what eventually got onto the CD. But we didn't seriously worry about going to issue them to the public, because we reckoned that if the commercial companies weren't interested in us, then that's all right. We had a busy enough time to get our message across in the live performances that we did, and that's what we concentrated on.
Where did you play gospel rock and roll back in the early 60s?
In church. In youth clubs, we would go into coffee bars, secular coffee bars as well, and very often we would get engaged by a church to put on, you could call it a mocked-up coffee bar. So it was a church hall or something like that, or a community centre that had been dressed up to be a coffee bar, and we would go and play our music there. It developed from there as we got more known and more skillful as well, that we did more and more concerts which were organized by Christian people, and we also started to take ourselves into West End, I'm Soho area, dives and nightclubs and places like that. We'd offer ourselves as a free band. You want a band for free? And very often the manager would say yes. That got us into some quite remarkable places that other people had been hoping to evangelize, and they couldn't get in, but we could.
Speaking about evangelizing, now, would you guys just play music? Did you do a little bit of preaching as well, or how did a Pilgrim's concert look like?
Where it was appropriate to preach, then we did. And if we were in a church, obviously, we were playing in a church service, which did happen a lot in the early days, then certainly we'd preach, or someone who was with us would preach. If we were on a Youth for Christ rally or something like that, then certainly someone would preach. We'd probably give testimonies. If we were doing a youth club, then we'd preach. But if we were in a secular club, then no, we probably wouldn't, except there were occasions then we got where we did get that opportunity. It quite knocked us out on some occasions. So in the first, the one that really stands out to me was when we were in Ireland. This was quite late in our career. We were there to do a mission that had been organized by a Christian group, that's a Christian organization, Irish Evangelistic Treks, they call themselves. When we got there, the day before we were due to start, because we wanted setting up time, we discovered a nightclub down the road. We thought, well, we could perhaps get ourselves in there. And so it was Ian, one of the band, who went along and chatted with the manager, said, "You want a band free tonight?" And they had another group on that night. We went on to do an interval spot, which went down very well. But as we came off, you know, thinking, right, that session's over, the manager came bouncing up onto the stage and said, "Who's going to do the epilogue?" And I got pushed forward and I preached. We were surprised then. It went down well.
Now, here in the States, Derek, a lot in the late 60s, early 70s, when contemporary Christian music started taking off here, what we called it Jesus music here, when it started taking off, a lot of those groups really took a lot of criticism and flack for doing the gospel mixed with rock music. You guys being the first band out there doing that, did you run any criticism or negative reaction to what you were doing?
Oh, yes, of course we did. We took a bit of flack here and there, and a lot of people thought it was a dreadfully demonic thing, and you know, all the rest of it. As far as we were concerned, it was just the music that was appropriate to our generation, and it's what we liked and what we did, so it didn't seem odd at all. But yes, we got criticized. On one occasion, we even got criticized on BBC radio by a peeress of the realm, nothing less. That was to do with one event when we played at a church. And the service was attended by Princess Margaret. She was the Queen's sister. This naturally made big news. And so it got talked about on BBC Women's Hour, and we got this very public criticism from this lady, who happened, by the way, to be Countess Rain, who later became famous as Diane's wicked stepmother.
Well, Derek, let's take another music break here and play some more Pilgrims for our listeners from that CD I've queued up. Hey You, can you set this one up for us?
It was Tony Goodman who composed that one. That was when we were well into our R&B phase, rhythm and blues phase, and it was a total original from him, and it's him singing, and a lovely job of he made.
We are chatting with Derek Phillips, founding member of the very first Christian rock band known as the Pilgrims. This is their song, Hey You, and it's from the archives in WJTL.
What you doing? Are you wasting your time by just pursuing all the pleasures of this life? And maybe you think they will satisfy, but no matter how hard you try, you keep searching but won't find peace of mind. Hey you, where you going?
That is the Pilgrims with Hey You, and their founding member, guitarist, and sometimes vocalist, I believe, Derek Phillips, joining us all the way from over in the UK tonight here in the archives. Derek, you guys may have been the first band, but it didn't take long before others were following in your wake. What was that like for you to finally see other bands doing what you were doing?
Oh, it's very encouraging. It was probably, certainly by 1964, we were encountering other bands. Possibly as early as 63, we started too, but there were quite a lot of bands around by 64, and we started to discover one another. But in particular, a couple of fellas from two different bands met one day in an office lift. They were working for different companies in the same high-rise building, and they were in the lift and noticed that they were both wearing Scripture Union badges. So they started to get talking, and it turned out they were both in bands, and they got together. And they were the ones who got the idea of forming an organization called Musical Gospel Outreach to bring the groups in contact with one another. Incidentally, both went on to have quite significant careers, Christian careers. Pete Meadows was one of them. He started the organization called Spring Harvest, which puts on major events every year, bring together lots of churches. I mean, he's no longer in it now, but he was the one who got the idea. And Jeff Sheehan, who started Kingdom Music, set up a record company, and also started a thing called Buzz Magazine, which used to circulate among the groups and later became a much broader Christian paper. They were the ones who started to bring the groups in contact with one another and organised a number of events. So we were very pleased to be involved with that. Never got involved in the organisation of it. We were too busy with the actual ministry, but we were often at events that they put on.
Now, you were in the band till what, 1967? Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Did the Pilgrims continue on after you left?
Briefly, but it was just a few months. They continued on as the Pilgrims and then changed the name to Out of Darkness. And then the three of them started to reorganize things to become much more of what you might call a supergroup, taking some of the best instrumentalists from different bands. Out of Darkness had another career on after us, and that consisted of Tony, who was in the Pilgrims. It was managed by Ian, who was in the Pilgrims. And then there were a couple of black guys who had been in different bands. And there was a drummer who had been in a band that used to follow the Pilgrims around, but he was a brilliant drummer, probably still is. But I've not heard Tim play for quite some while. The pattern continued on for several years after. But as the Pilgrims, it was only for a few months after I left.
Now, after you left the Pilgrims, Derek, did you do any more music or anything after that?
The guitar was important in a lot that I did since then, and still occasionally gets brought out for church events, but I no longer do anything regular with it. I mean, in my church that I'm in now, I pulled out of being on the regular rotas for playing for worship. When I retired, I decided that there were plenty of younger people who were equally good, and some of them better, and I needed to get on with enjoying my retirement with my wife and not being on a rota. Very happy to serve, and occasionally I will sub for someone, you know, see someone is not able to be in one of the bands, and I'll say, that's all right, I'll come along and play, but usually I'll watch.
So do any of your church family, the younger folks, are they aware of your wild rock and roll days?
A lot of people in my church are aware of it. I have spoken about it. I was asked one occasion to talk about it at one of the social events we have here. So yes, it's known about locally.
Now, are you surprised that here we are, what 50 plus years later, still talking about the Pilgrims?
I've got used to that surprise now. It was a real surprise when I got the phone call that led to the CD being put out, and that was in 2004. That was unexpected, but since then the bandwagon has started to roll and all sorts of things have cropped up. I've also, because of that being the CD being around and the conversation going on, I've been in contact with more people who've told me stories about the band, some stories which I knew already or knew part of, and some that I couldn't remember myself. It's amazing. you can be on the same spot and see things that the other person doesn't see, or vice versa. And so I started to collect a lot more stories than I knew, which I'm now, or have now, gathered together in a book which will be released in the course of the next couple of months.
Actually, that was my next question for you, Derek, is I knew you were working on a book. Can you give us a little more detail on the book you're working on?
The working title of it is Pilgrims Rock, with an exclamation mark, and with probably the subtitle of The True Story of the First Christian Rock Group. It's not gone to the publisher yet, but it will quite soon. It's pretty well written. I've just got a couple of friends checking details for me, and so I expect it to be out within probably sometime in November.
Great. And we've mentioned the CD a couple of times. We should probably tell folks what the disc is. It's called The Pilgrims, Telling Youth the Truth, and they can probably find it by doing a web search. I know it's been around for a while now, but that's well worth a hunt if they can find that. And you do have a website, which is just derekphillips.co.uk, and you've got a nice history of the Pilgrims on there.
I interrupt you there and say, actually, there is also a link that will take you straight through to the Pilgrims section, which is pilgrimsmusic.co. www.donsanders.co.uk.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing that. And Derek, thank you so much for giving us some time here tonight. We just appreciate so much being able to catch up with you, and a real thrill for me being our official archivist here to track down a member of the very first Christian rock band. I just can't tell you the excitement that was for me. Before we let you go, though, I've got one more track queued up, okay? And this is one of my favorite tracks off the disc, and actually, I guess it shows your mellow side. I've queued up the song He Wants You. Can you set this one up for us?
Yeah, that's terrific. That was John Hubbard's composition, and that was one that he and I used to sing together in kind of the middle phase of the band, when we were much more listening to the Mersey sound and things like that, and reflecting that in what we were singing.
Once again, Derek, it has been such a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you so much for giving us some time.
You're welcome. Lovely to talk to you.
What peace there will be.